Judges, the 14th chapter. We'll begin reading with verse number 1, the book of Judges, the 14th chapter. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among my people? And thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his wife and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took therefore in his hands and went on eating, came to his father and his mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for Jesus who gave His life that we might have eternal life. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We just pray, Lord, that You'll direct Your Word by Your Spirit today into our hearts. Help us to do Your will today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we read this story this morning, this past week I have been studying the book of Judges, and I spent a lot of time studying the life of Samson. And I realized as I began to study again this life of Samson, that what I had perceived Samson to be was really different than what he really was. See, when we hear the word Samson, we think of somebody that is weak or strong. Was he muscular? I always assumed he was the Hercules type, the big arms, the massive chest, the big strong back. But that's probably not true. The Bible teaches us that God has always used the weaker things to confound the wise. He took a little shepherd boy and slew a giant. God has never needed muscles and strength to get His work done. So chances are, if Samson was in this building today, he wouldn't be the most muscular built guy there. And you look back in the beginning of this story, and you see how Samson actually came about. The Bible teaches us there that an angel appeared to his mother and to his father, who had never had children, and told them that they would have a son. Does that sound familiar? How many times do we read this story in the Scripture where the angel appeared to barren people and tell them that they would give birth to a child? And every time that child proved out to be a servant of God. And this was no different. But the thing that would make this story so much different than any other story you read in the Bible about these prophesied sons was that this one was prophesied to be a Nazarite. And that's where my study took me this week. Nazarites. Who were they? What could they do? What couldn't they do? Well, if you go over to the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter today when you get home and read, and the book of Numbers, the 6th chapter, you will find the listing of the things the Nazarites could do and they couldn't do. One of the things that they could not do, they could not drink wine. They could not eat grapes. They could not get their hair cut. And then they could not touch anything that was dead. When a Nazarite died, or anyone in his family died, He could not participate in the funeral. He could not touch the dead body. So the three things that I want you to remember today about the Nazarites were, they couldn't touch grapes, eat grapes, or drink grapes. They couldn't cut their hair. And they could not touch anything dead. And I think that'll help us in our story today. The word Samson, by the way, means little light. And so I titled the message this morning, Flickering Light. The Flickering Light. He was not a bright and shining light. He was a flickering light. He wasn't what he really needed to be. I think the book of James probably gives us a good verse that we could always think about when we think about Samson. James chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Samson was a double-minded man. He did some things good, he did some things bad. He ended up okay, but I don't think he ever accomplished what God really intended for him to do. And I think this is going to be a good lesson for you and I today as we read this story of Samson killing the lion. I want us to think about some things in our everyday life and how this could actually be you and I today as we sit here. So let's go back to the beginning of the story. And we see that where Samson went, he went down and we have to realize Samson was doing things that were wrong. God had taught the Nazarites, and the reason they took the vow, that they were to be separated people. Now, you and I as God's people are to be separated people. We're to be consecrated people. We're to be dedicated people. Before Samson was born, his mother had to do the very things that Samson would do. She had to make sure she didn't eat anything that was dead. She had to pray. And she was really worried that she wouldn't be able to raise this child in the way that she could and needed to. And you know what she did? This would be a commercial break. She prayed to God for guidance in raising her child. What a great thing for a mother to do. This ain't Mother's Day, but I'll give you that one for Mother's Day message, and we won't have a Mother's Day message in May. Mothers should pray for their children. They should pray for guidance in directing those children. Try to do the best they can. But the best way you're going to find the guidance is seeking God for guidance. Because He's the one that will help you deliver your child in the way that he needs to go. And so we find out in this story that Samson, the first thing he does, he goes looking for a wife where he shouldn't have been looking. That's exactly what he did. They were to have nothing to do with the Philistines. And where did Samson go to look for a wife? To the Philistines. Let me challenge young ladies in our services. Let me challenge young men in our service to try to seek out and find a good Christian boy or girl. It will really make matters a lot easier one day. You say, oh, I'll win him to the Lord. Or I'll win her to the Lord. More times than not, it never happens. And the Bible teaches us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Folks, the Philistines were unbelievers. Samson knew better. I'm sure his mom and dad had taught him better. But you know what? He got just like we do sometimes, and we know what's best for us. And that's what Samson set out to do, what was best for him. And the Bible teaches us as he's on his way down, he met this woman. And I love what the Scripture says there. It pleased him. Didn't say it pleased God. Didn't say it pleased his mom and dad. But it pleased him. Sometimes we're guilty of only wanting to do what pleases us. And I'll be honest with you today. Some things that I don't want to do, I do it because it pleases God. I'm being honest with you. I don't always want to do everything God wants me to do. Sometimes I argue with God. Sometimes I tell God, I really don't want to do that. But I do it because it pleases God. Everything in this life we do will not be pleasing to us. But that's what this life is about. Not pleasing us, but pleasing God. And Samson finally realized that at the very end. But it took him a long time to get there. A lot of bad things happened in his life. So Samson went out to find out what pleased him. He came in contact with this lion. And I wrote down three things about this lion that were dangerous. First thing I wrote down was, the lion came unsought. In other words, when Samson went out to go meet his wife, was he looking for a lion? He wasn't looking for a lion. Was he expecting a lion? No. So he went out, but the danger came unsought. What does that tell us today? Sometimes you and I will face danger that we don't know we're going to face. We're not looking for it. We're not expecting it. But it happens anyway. And that's the way life really is. Every time we step out the door, every time we go to work, every time we go to school, no matter where we're at, we don't know what danger we may be facing in the next few moments. And this was the same way that Samson found it. He didn't know. He wasn't looking. It was unexpected. Number three, he was on a pleasurable journey. He's seeking pleasure. He was looking for fun. He was doing what he wanted to do. And guess what happened? Guess what he found? Where did his path take him? Let's look at a couple of things. Go with me down to verse number 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath. And he came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Where did Samson meet the lion? In the woods? In the vineyard? How many believe it was in the woods? How many believe it was in the vineyard? Should Samson have been at the vineyard? No. What did we just read? The Nazarite made a vow he would not eat a grape. He would not drink anything that had to do with grapes. And where was he at? In the vineyard. Ha ha! Maybe he was one of those people who said, I can go where I'm not supposed to be, and I can be a witness. You know those people, right? I can go in the bar and just talk to the people there, but I won't drink anything. I'm just going to be a witness. That works, doesn't it? Is that what happened with this young man? He was in the vineyard. He shouldn't have been there. And what happened? A lion appeared immediately. Should that be a lesson to us today? When we go the wrong direction, we get on the wrong path, we're going to face trouble. We're going to face unexpected trouble. There's going to be lions in our paths. There's going to be things that we wasn't looking for. Samson was not expecting this, but he should have because he was going wrong the way God wanted him to go. When you and I go the wrong way, when you and I do the wrong things, we ought to expect trouble because that's how God operates. The Bible tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so on the way through the vineyard, he meets a lion. So we know what happens to the lion. He kills the lion. But you think he was reminded of the vow? Why didn't he tell his mom and dad? I thought that was a neat little statement. If I just killed a lion, the Bible said he ripped it like he'd rip a little lamb in two with his bare hands. Would you want to tell anybody? Boy, I would. Look what I did. I killed this with my hands. I think it's just this week we've seen where a mountain lion come out of the mountains and mauled somebody and they found another biker that had been mauled. Wouldn't you like to have been the one who just reached up and grabbed that mountain lion and ripped it in half and said, look what I did. But he didn't do that. He didn't tell his mom and dad. Why? Because he was guilty of doing something that was wrong. Just like you and I, when we do something wrong, we don't go around and brag on it. I heard the story about the preacher who laid out a church and went golfing. Went golfing with a couple of trustees, I believe it was. While they were out there, the preacher hit a hole in one. I mean, that hardly ever happens. But he couldn't tell nobody. He's homesick, right? Who could Samson tell? He shouldn't have been at the vineyard. Sometimes you and I will be, we might do some mighty work as far as the world is concerned. But when it comes down to it, we can't tell anybody because it goes against what we're supposed to be doing as God's people. And that's exactly what Samson did. He went against what God wanted him to do. You know what? Anytime we go out and we get on the wrong path, we're provoking danger. It's just like those crazy people that go out there to hunt snakes. Is there anything any dumber than for humans to go out and hunt snakes? When we lived in Colorado, southeast Colorado, down in the southeast corner, they had rattlesnake roundup. And these people wore three pairs of pants. And the last pair of pants was those old polyester pants. I remember having them. Mama used to make me wear them. That last pair of pants were polyester over top of their jeans and another pair of pants. And those guys would reach in those bluffs and they'd get those rattlesnakes, those little prairie rattlers, and they would hook the fangs in their polyester pants. They'd just walk around, hook them. And then they would take and they'd milk them. Then they would skin them and eat them. What kind of nuts are they in the world? But you know what? They went out looking for danger. You go out rattlesnake hunting and you get bit, don't blame God. Y'all see what I'm saying today? You go out and you get drunk and you have a horrible accident and you kill somebody, don't blame God. Because you provoke danger. Folks, as God's people, we've got to be careful what path we take. We've got to be careful which way we go because we never know where it may lead and we never know what may happen. In this situation, in this story, Samson come out triumphant. Let's look how this thing ended and let's see how that God used this opportunity. Look at verse number 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He was victorious by one way and one way only. By the Spirit of the Lord. This is why I say Samson was not a strong, built, muscular man. Because I don't believe he did anything in his own strength and his own power. Because when this happened, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he did this marvelous thing. If you go back and read the chapter before, you'll find out that Samson began as a young boy to do these mighty things when the Spirit of God moved him. I think it's exactly how the Scripture said it. The Bible says in verse 25 of chapter 13, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp. It wasn't something that he had all the time. He just couldn't walk around and rip tops off of things and pick up rocks and shake houses. He couldn't do that all the time. But a little bit of times, here and there, God would give him the ability to do mighty things. He knew it. He knew he had the power. He knew where it was coming from. But you know what happened? He misused it. Sometimes God gives us the strength according to the requirement needed. Just enough. Not any extra, but just what He's required. Just what we require to get through that. You know, I think that's what the neatest thing is about the New Testament. The Bible tells us there that God will not allow us to be tempted or tried more than we're able, but will allow a way for what? Us to escape it, that we may be able to bear it. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but He said, I'll get you out of it. You'll be able to handle it. You might get a scratch on you. Some people think we won't even get a scratch on us. That's not true. We never know how God may work in a situation or a circumstance. But guaranteed, He's working. And here in Samson's life, He did work. He had strength. His strength was in God. Look at the end of this story. The Bible says in verse 9, he took thereon in his hands and went on eating, came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told them that he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. What had Samson did wrong so far? Had he been around any grapes? How about the next Nazarite vow? Not to touch anything dead. He not only touched it, he reached down and ate out of it. What was he doing? He was not listening to the warnings that God had gave him. He was not taking his vow seriously. And this is the point I wanted to make. All that was introduction. I got one point. And here's the point. Take your salvation and your Christianity seriously. It's not a joke. Do I think Samson joked with his? I really do. If you read on the rest of this book, and you read the next two or three chapters, you'll find out that Samson made riddles of this. He made fun. Folks, God's work is serious business. God's people can enjoy, and He tells us there'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. But you know what? It is a really serious matter for God's people to be what they claim to be. And here, God needed a light. I like when I read in chapter 13. Let me just take you to the first verse of chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. It wasn't the first time. It wasn't the last time. They did it over and over and over. I wonder if we could look at our record that God has been keeping upon us. Would He say that, well, Steve did it again? Would He say that? Probably so. I'm glad that God is long-suffering. I'm glad that God is patient. But let me tell you what I'm most thankful of, that God is forgiven. When I goof up and I mess up and I do what I shouldn't do, God is there to forgive me. And to make a long story short, how this story all ended, Samson became a bright light, but it was short-lived. See how the book of Judges ends, according to Samson's life, was this. Samson finally got caught. He played around, he played around, he played around, and finally he broke the third vow. See, I believe all this was a step. I don't think just cutting the hair was the main thing, because I think eating the grapes was just as bad as getting his hair cut. I think eating the honey out of the dead carcass was just as bad as getting his hair cut. We always think, well, he lost his strength because his strength was in his hair. No. If that was the case, I'd have hair this long today. Strength is not in his hair. Strength was in God and the commitment he had with God. That's where his strength was. Folks, you and I, the Bible says, can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Our strength comes from God. No other place. Finally, the way the story of Samson's life ends, they caught him. He woke up one morning, the Bible says, and he was going to rip the bands off like he had every other day. He'd been bound several times. He had tied foxtails together, set them on fire, sent them through the cornfields, and they burnt the crops down. He was a jokester, prankster. Instead of being doing what God wanted him to do, he was playing games. Well, finally, he got caught up in his game. And the Bible said when he went to break loose, he couldn't. He realized his head had been shaved. And there they plucked his eyes out. And they brought him to the temple of Dagon. He was blind, in bonds. Everybody laughing at him. Is this the same guy that killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey? Is this the same guy? Can you hear him just laughing and making fun? See, what had happened was the Bible said that the Spirit of God left him. And he asked him, he said, "Could you just lead me up to where I can rest my hands against the columns of the temple?" He got his hands against the column of the temple, and the Bible tells us there's 3,000 men and women sitting around the top. Can you just hear them laughing and giggling and say, "Look at him, he's nothing. He's supposed to be the man of God. Look at him, he's blind, he can't see, he's weak." And the Bible said that Samson prayed to God, "God, give me one last opportunity." I think Samson began to repent. "Lord, I'm sorry. I have wasted my life. But Lord, if you'll give me strength one more time, we'll kill some of these Philistines and I'll die with them." And the Bible said that Samson prayed that prayer and the Spirit of God came back. And he shoved those columns down. That temple fell. 3,000 people died. His death, the Bible said, he killed more of the Philistines in his death than when he was alive. Was that God's plan? No. God's plan was for him to be just like David, a great leader, a great warrior. And somebody would go out. The Bible tells us David killed 10,000. But you know what? Samson didn't let his light shine. He was a flickering light. He had little bits and pieces of it. But at the end, he finally realized why it was important, but there was no time left. This morning, do you realize what's important? If Samson at that moment was looking back in his lies as his eyes had been gouged out, you think he was thinking, "Man, if I had just not went down to that vineyard, if I just not have done this, if I would have did like Mom and Dad told me to have done, if I would have sought God more, wonder what my life would have turned out to be like." We can't what if. We can't change the past. But we can do something about the here and now. See, the Bible tells us that God gives us strength. But we have to give Him our will. And we have to give Him our ability. And we have to give Him our time. And we have to give Him our effort. We just can't sit here and say, "God, give me strength. God, let me do something for somebody," without doing something. You've got to do something. You've got to get up. You've got to show some effort. Then God will begin to work in you like He did in Samson. You've got to be willing to try. You've got to be willing to go. You've got to be willing to be used. How about this morning? Do you know Jesus as Savior? I can promise you, you'll never find strength until you find Jesus. Jesus is where your strength is. Jesus is where your strength will come from. The Bible tells us that this angel appeared to Samson's mom and dad. And they kept wanting to know his name. He wouldn't tell them his name. And finally, he just said, "Wonderful." Isn't there a course that goes something like this? "His name is Wonderful." I wonder where that come from. Remember the fourth man in the fire? Reckon this was the fourth man in the fire? Reckon who came to Samson's parents and said, "You're going to have a son and he's going to do great things and he's going to have great power and he's going to begin to lead my people"? You think it could have been? Folks, I want you to know the means of our strength has always came from the same place. If you don't have strength this morning, you don't have Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have strength. And you can do anything if you're willing to go out and work for Him. Maybe you're not serving God like you should. Today would be a good opportunity to give your life to God and say, "Lord, I want to do more." Maybe you realize you're like Samson. You're just a flickering light. You're bright at times, but at times you're not too bright. It's time to get serious. Because God is depending upon us. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for Jesus who died that we might have eternal life. Lord, we come on behalf of this service today. Lord, we don't know the hearts here. But Lord, we know that You do. Lord, we don't know the situations that people may be going through today. But Lord, we know that You do. There may be some that's on the wrong path. And that wrong path is leading them in the wrong places. And Lord, there'll always be danger in wrong places. Help them to realize that they need to separate themselves and be different than the rest of the world. Lord, we thank You for loving us. We just pray for Your invitation to go Your way. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. We sing a verse of invitation this morning.